Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix, Phil Rosenthal. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and RJ Bell returns to talk football and gambling. And now, he has his own Netflix show called Somebody Feed Phil Some Socks from the Floor because nobody closes the fucking door.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No, just to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show. It's free. So tell a friend about it. I love reading your tweets when you do that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Yeah.
That's Phil Rosenthal. Wow. Just watching a show last night in Tokyo, I believe. And just the sushi and the eel. Everything amazing. It's just...
What a life.
What a life, and the way it's filmed, the way they're able to film everything, it becomes so much more enticing. You know, back in the day, it was like they'd have the oven, and the one oven, they'd put the casserole
yes.
in, and then the other oven, they had the finished
the casserole
in, and that was the magic of TV, and now they must put, like... GoPros on the sushi chef's cleaver, you know, and it's like you're right up
on
in
the
there.
Mixers goes round and around.
Yeah, and it's like it's so high def, yeah. and it looks so amazing and so beautiful, and you're there, and it's a tough show because what happens is I tend to get most of those shows watched at about 11 o'clock at night. That's not weekday noon watching for me, and you're just sitting there and you're going. I gotta get me some sushi.
Yeah.
Like,
wonder what uni place is open.
Got kicked right into that mode. Yeah. So, we'll talk to Phil, about that. RJ Bell will do about, do some gambling with him. Here's a win place show. The taco thing did not work out. Although I had an example, not for me personally, I had an example of the taco thing, which was hard to argue with. Now, again, the soft taco rules are steak, beef, or steak. I'll accept beef or steak. I will accept chicken. Mm-hmm. And then there's, I think we had pork. Mm-hmm. I'm now going to add shrimp.
Oh,
I enjoy shrimp. And I'm gonna sweeten the pot with fish.
Oh,
tacos as well. Anyway, I'll tell you what happened when I was in Monterey involving tacos. Blinds Galore, by the way, blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. And Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. You guys can work your power rankings now that I've put the five tacos in.
I have a hard time believing that the quail was serving tacos unless they were, you know, dipped in gold leaf.
I got an invite from a guy named Martin, who's a sweetheart of a guy over there, that just sent me a tweet that said, hey, when you guys are done with the track, me and Danny Sullivan, who's a famous IndyCar driver, won the IndyCar 500, Indianapolis 500, maybe once or twice or more. He said, come by, we're serving tacos. And I said, okay. And we went by to eat tacos because it sounded good. And when we got to the taco place, they didn't have a taco truck, but they had the taco family who sets up the table and gets all the chafing dishes and the rice and the beans.
Very normal in Los Angeles.
And everything else. And they're doing the taco guys. And when we got there.
Doing that for Tessa's birthday.
They were working the. They're working the chicken. They had the chicken on the grill. They had a chafing dish full of chicken. The beef was gone. And people were all standing around saying, where's the beef? And they said, we're out of the beef.
Maybe it's under the pickle.
It's they're out of the beef. Where's the beef? Yeah, Wendy's. Yeah. Where's the beef? And they're out of the beef. Now, I'm guessing they're out of the beef, not because they brought a lesser amount of beef. It's that, how many people are at this event? Max Pat, 100?
Yeah, more than that. There's probably 100, probably 120, 140.
Okay, it was a fair amount of people. We didn't get there at the beginning. We got there toward the end of the taco.
Yeah.
And the beef had been devoured, and it was announced that somebody's on a beef run.
Oh. Yeah.
They did not bring enough beef. So here's the deal. Outside of this room, bring more beef than chicken, because that's what most people prefer in a soft taco. So beef all gone. Tons of chicken, but nobody wanted chicken. So everyone was now standing around saying, when is the beef coming back? At some point, they floated the notion of shrimp. Mm. We're going to have some shrimp.
Sounds awesome.
Then they said, we will wait for the shrimp. Then meanwhile, the chicken chafing dish just sat there unmolested while everyone who was hungry waited for the beef or the chicken.
The shrimp.
And then the shrimp. And then we all announced, who likes chicken tacos? And then everyone at our table said, nobody likes chicken tacos except for it's Brian and Gina's favorite taco.
Wrong again. So the criteria was, we're going on a taco run. We're not telling you where, just average taco place, Inc.
Good taco. No, I said where. I said Paquito Moss.
Okay. I'll just take the right down the middle option. My favorite, if you introduce fish to the mix, fish is the best. Fish tacos, that's
all
the
right,
go.
You got
that's
fish. Where's I was trying to avoid the factor in the, you know, health inspector and stuff like that. Like, we're getting tacos. You just
nobody's
get to get the taco
poisoning.
That you want.
All things being equal, I think
that's
I'm always
attempting for that, because otherwise it's steering it the wrong way.
Fish number one. Pork or beef, 2A and 2B. I love carnitas, but not like the weird pork that's chopped up, like the carnitas or the
al
pastor.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And then chicken is your average. If there's chicken taco, I'll take.
This time the beef is better than the chicken?
If we're talking all things being considered, I prefer beef over chicken.
Well, it's always all things the same if you're trying to compare something. Otherwise, it's not a comparison.
Okay. Well, under the criteria proposed before, I'm going with the
criteria proposed before is we go to Paquito Moss, we're getting tacos.
Yeah, I'll go with the safe option. Get me chicken. I'll just deal with chicken.
But you don't think Paquito Moss is safe?
I don't know if Paquito Moss was ever proposed as a place. I always thought it was just your average or above
average. Well, a taco place. I said Paquito Moss, but you pick your own taco place.
King Taco.
But if I'm picking the taco place, I'm picking Wahoo's or some place that has like great, you know, fish taco. That's
but not a place that's known for one kind of taco. Okay. I'm just trying to hit an intermediate here so we can get our test results in, because yours are varying on the place. I said Paquito Moss because it's a good taco place that I've never had food poisoning from. With that in mind, you don't want chicken first.
I would. If it's Paquito Moss, I guess I would go steak, or because you're right, it's more reputable, and it's like I'm not going to. This is not a health inspection situation. Yeah, I'll roll the dice and go a little higher end with the al pastor, the carnitas, maybe. But the fish is always number one.
Fish is number one. All right, so now your chicken has dropped a few notches.
Indeed. I think Adam, the way you have to present is assuming you get the best kind of each taco, then, because I think Brian's thing was he thinks chicken has the highest basement.
Yeah, the lowest, highest floor.
It was presented as a good to decent taco place like Paquito Moss. Everything's equal. I'm not going to pick a place that's famous for this taco, famous for that taco, and we can't pick a place that does this kind of taco and is out of this world, and another place that does that kind. We just have to do the taco place. I'm not sure why we're talking about this much. It's Paquito Moss. I just have tacos. Dylan, you can get whatever taco you want there.
Dylan just came up behind me and went, who's also chicken number one, said, oh, if health inspector's out of the equation, I pick pork.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to make this much easier.
I tried as hard as I could to remove all of these equations and thus pick Paquito Moss because they just make decent or good tacos. Or again, just a regular taco place that's not,
just
we're not
forget
factoring
about
in travel
Moss.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? It's just a fictional taco place where every taco is awesome and every taco is healthy.
Thank you.
Which
thank
one do you get for?
Thank
you.
Now Dawson's the voice of common sense, and that's difficult.
Temporitas.
All right.
Now that we have introduced the seafood option, here's how it goes. Pork, shrimp, fish, chicken, beef.
Okay.
Because now we have the fish and the shrimp, so that slides in between the pork and the chicken.
Mm-hmm. I will go pork because it's most flavorful when it's done that way. I'll go steak second, but shrimp kind of depends. You know, I might get a shrimp I like fish tacos. I would get if I got three, I'd get a pork, a steak, and a fish. I like
not
fish,
shrimp.
Nah, pretty sure shrimp's pretty good. Anyway, good everyone, texture. Everyone, there's tons of chicken. Everyone was waiting around, and nobody wanted the chicken. But now, chicken's down your list a bit, and it's down your list
it's
a bit,
fourth
too.
Fourth out of fifth on mine.
Okay. All right. Well, all's right in the world, sort of. Okay. We got to go back and check the tape. All right. Anyway, I did what I do collectively on the trip. How much time did I do on Who Would Like Chicken Tacos? Is it over 2 hours, or what's the over
I
under?
I easily take the over.
Two hours. All right. Can I tell you this?
RJ has the over at minus 400.
I did about two and a half hours on who the hell would like chicken tacos. And then when I got home last night, I walked in and Olga was making and being with the Blue Apron, which we love. And I said, "What are you making?" And she said, "Chicken tacos." I
yes,
swear to
ma'am.
God.
Good timing.
And they were good because Blue Apron does everything good. But it was funny that I did 2.5 hours on who would ever intentionally eat chicken tacos. And that's the menu she pulled out of the Rolodex. That was still very enjoyable, but that's what I ate last night. All right, good. All is sane in the world.
Can I lay some crazy Goodfellas talk on you?
Yes.
Always.
So I'm Goodfellas is on TV today. I'm doing research for a very exciting project coming up that I'm excited to announce in a couple days. I'll announce that teaser for that. But I'm doing the research for it, right? And Goodfellas is on, and it's early in the movie. And of course, we're all familiar with the the arc and the highs and lows of Goodfellas, the moments that everyone remembers. And there's the moment that comes up early in the movie. It's great where you get introduced to all the gangsters in the bar. Hey, there's Johnny, Frankie Two Times. Yeah.
A freeze frame.
Johnny Two Times. Yeah. It's not a freeze frame, but
it's a pan down
the bar. And it's like there's Johnny Roast Beef, and there's Johnny Two Times, and there's Frankie Carbone, you know.
Right,
and
everyone's saying hi.
Everyone's saying, hey, the camera, hey, right. how you doing? Right. And then the camera tracks into the back, and it's the Bamboo Palace, or Bamboo Hut, or something like that, the name of the bar. Goes in the back of the bar, where eventually Polly becomes a partner, remember, and they burn the place down.
Right.
But they're still up and running at this point, or the first time you see the place, they go into the kitchen. Camera tracks into the kitchen, and here comes Henry Hill, main character, Ray Liotta, wheeling a whole bunch of coats, like fur coats, mink coats, right? Mm-hmm. Very clearly, they fell off a truck, you know, they're going to resell them, you know, they stole them, they're going to resell them, whatever. And the manager of the place, the owner, the proprietor, he's like, "Hey, Henry, it's the middle of summer, what am I going to do with all these coats? I need suits." He's like, "Well, I got your coats, you want me to take them back?" "No, don't take them back, well, I'll sell them eventually." "Put them in the, hey, it's summer, hang them in the freezer with the meat." You know, jokingly, hang him in the freezer with the meat. Do you remember? Later in the movie, Frankie Carbone, who we had just met in that scene no more than 30 seconds prior, gets hung in a freezer with the meat as payback because he bought a fur coat for his wife. Remember, take it back.
Right,
in the freezer truck.
Yeah, the freezer truck. But it was a refrigerated truck.
When they were discovering all the bodies.
All the bodies.
In the dumpsters, in the cars, in the freezer truck.
That's what you get.
He's hanging like a piece of meat because he bought his wife a fur coat.
Who bought
they
the
did tell
wife?
Him not to.
Who bought the wife? Who bought the wife? The cattle.
The wig guy.
That was Wayne Knight.
Yeah,
that was Amore. That was find the scene. It was either Wayne Knight or Wayne Knight's doppelganger, but it was a Newman looking dude.
I didn't realize Wayne Knight was in Goodfellas.
No, Wayne Knight's not.
Okay, so then it's a Wayne Knight looking dude,
right.
But it's not Maury.
It's not Maury. The hair. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's in my mother-in-law's name.
Oh right.
When they're all coming in for the Christmas,
and then Frankie Carbone walks in next. They're like, and De Niro sees his wife in the coat. He rips it off. Take it back.
God, imagine when like just buying somebody a fur coat. Like, as a guy, if you drove a Mercedes-Benz, you were a rich guy. And if you're a woman, you had a fur coat.
Of course.
You were his rich wife. Like, we knew so much just by your car or your coat.
And my grandparents, my grandmother in Chicago, they would all leave their coats at a temperature-controlled fur place, and they'd all take them out for the high holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're literally empty twice a year. Otherwise, that's where you leave your coat.
I have a powerful culinary win play show another thing I discovered. I will tell you guys in a second. So
I've seen Goodfellas 70 times. It's the first time I noticed
that. And do you know what PETA's trying to do with Aretha Franklin's fur coats?
Oh.
Put them back.
Yeah, I didn't want to upset you this early in the show.
They're going to combine two loves. They're gonna cover Confederate statues with them. They're gonna knit them together. They're gonna make like a huge AIDS quilt size.
That would have been good.
Chinchilla
for the
and they're gonna hang it over Robert E. Lee.
I was hoping it would be something worthwhile, like they're gonna cover animals with alopecia, but like it's probably just burnt.
You're not that far off,
really?
Brian.
Oh,
really?
I read the little letter that they sent to, I think it was Aretha's niece or whatever.
Aretha Franklin not only has to have multiple fur coats, but they're the size of Winnebago covers, right? Like, many, many chinchillas gave their lives.
Perhaps. And they all hit the floor at some point when she gets on stage.
Right.
A whole flock.
Right. Flock.
So, I believe,
murder.
I read it right before I got here. I believe it said, you know, now that they're all dead and they suffered and there's nothing we can do about it now, please donate them to us and we will use them to cover orphaned animals and people. So apparently orphaned animals get to snuggle up to a fur coat and pretend it's their mom.
Is it mommy?
Yeah. 14 minks.
She has 14
minks. Or whatever. Yeah. But no, like they, you know, they died for one coat and they're going to cover a litter of puppies or something.
Go ahead.
I think I was going to say they should donate her bras as hammocks for the homeless.
Oh my.
Right, just stretch them across trees.
Enough homeless guys? Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Well, two families can stay in each cup, right? They'll just stretch it across a couple of light posts and there's a lot she can still left to give.
I'll put that in my will.
Please.
This just in. Johnny Roast Beef bought the Cadillac, and it was played by a man named Johnny Williams.
A little plain-looking dude,
but obviously not him.
Love all of it. Love it. One of my favorite movies
People
of all time.
People wonder why I love movies so much. It's because when there's a great one and they come along once in a while, you can watch it, I'm exaggerating, but like 40 times for a great movie,
sure.
And you'll still pick up on things.
Yeah.
Yes. Love it. All right, so another win place show in the culinary department, because I had a discovery, and part of my life's work is I was at the track. Nate and some of the other guys I was shooting some stuff with, they had their press passes, so they have their sort of press room that provide the sack lunch or the sandwiches or whatever. And, of course, Nate showed up. In the paddock, and he said, we're just at the press room to grab lunch. Guess which were the sandwiches that were left?
The only sandwiches left.
Yeah. And it's like, veggie sandwiches. Yeah. That's right. Veggie sandwiches were left. Mm. Okay. Why? Because nobody wants a veggie sub. I argue it's not a sandwich. It really isn't. It's vegetables, inside of bread.
Yeah.
You still, when they go on a run, they go like, look, how many press? We might have 100 people. Mm-hmm. All right, get 30 roast beef, 30 turkey, and 30 veggie. And then they leave. But except for the one thing nobody likes and the other thing everyone likes a lot. The other thing I always argue about, and I was yelling at poor Max Zapata when we're trying to enjoy our non-beef tacos, was size up your crowd. Mm. This is a group of guys that are leaving Laguna Seca Raceway who just got done burning 116 octane fuel and have no problem with the ozone. They hate the ozone, as a matter of fact. They are burning up vulcanized rubber. They're going through tires. They're dropping oil. They're burning fuel and stuff. These guys don't want the vegetarian alternative in the taco department or in the sandwich department. You take chicken and beef, well, depending on the group, there might be a large group of people that will eat the chicken as a healthy alternative whatever it is, or maybe they eat chicken but they don't eat beef or whatever it is. Not the group coming straight from the track. Those guys, that's Ted Nugent. That's a Ted Nugent turducken. That is
a Ted Duncan.
That guy there is like we took the ghost of Arlie Ermey and shoved him up Ted Nugent's ass, and we made a Ted Duncan. That's the guy who's coming from the track. There's no vegetarians. There's not a goddamn vegetarian in that whole fucking track. I guarantee you, none of those guys are, and none of their wives are vegetarians. They wouldn't be with them.
Their favorite vegetable is gravy.
Yes. Those guys at that track who are going to be leaving that track and driving down the hill and going to eat tacos with Danny Sullivan, none of them want the tofu alternative. They're all beef eaters. And what I'm saying is when you're doing an event.
Profile.
Yes, if you're, we're making tacos. For who? Lilith Bear returns. Okay.
Adjust your ratio.
Let's start considering some things. But if it's a whole bunch of Republican dudes who have been hanging out the track just burning fossil fuels all day, let's go a little heavier on the red meat.
Yeah.
All right. Nope.
Simple.
Okay. Then I have a win play show. Max Pata, you got to pull up the Trader Joe's variety pack of cheese.
The crowd cheeser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I enjoy. I think there's four or five selections. One of them seems to be cheddar, and the other seems to be a combination of like cheddar and jack
like
or
Colby
whatever.
Jack,
but we'll look at that. But I want to get a win play show on three cheeses because I got another theory coming up, which
I'm ready for the challenge.
My theory is not
don't provide trail mix. It's provide much less trail mix than smoked almonds because people enjoy smoked almonds more in general than the trail mix, which they pick the goodies out of. All right. First, let me tell you about Blinds Galore. Huge Labor Day sale starts today, up to 50% off of everything. You've worked hard all summer. Reward yourself with the best custom window coverings and blinds at Blinds Galore. Over 2 million windows and counting, 20 years in the business. I use them. You should too. Their experts will be there. They'll guide you every step of the way, online or over the phone. They're the best. They're Blinds Galore. We love these guys. I have them at my house. I have them in the edit bay. I have them at the office. Dr. Drew has them at the house. Matt, Porcelain Punisher, Seeker of Leisure, has them at his house
Breaker
as well.
Of arms.
Breaker of elbows and hearts. Free shipping, free samples. Do it all from home and do it all with Blinds Galore. Oh, Dawson.
You work hard enough. Let Blinds Galore make it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Check out BlindsGalore.com during their big Labor Day sale happening now and let them know that Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
Got a couple of these chub packs of varieties of cheese, Colby Jack, Swiss, Places. Mild cheddar, and Pepper Jack for the road, the long ride in and out of Laguna Seca. Two thoughts dawned on me. One is, I enjoy Swiss cheese as an adult much more than I did when I was 9.
I had the same thought as I was looking at this.
Swiss cheese was weird when I was 9.
Kind of bitter.
And I have learned to enjoy it.
I'm sure Sonny's rankings be very different than ours.
Yeah.
Not unlike hot Poonanny. At age 9, not a big fan. Now, can't keep me away.
Enough.
So, A,
the variety pack.
I've grown into Swiss cheese, number one. Number two, as I was looking at these packs that everyone was devouring, and we had multiple packs, the ones that were left were the Pepper Jack. Mm-hmm. People did not want the Pepper Jack. They went through. Now, again, they always will get to the Pepper Jack because people are hungry and shit is free. But it's the order that it's consumed.
Yep.
And I noticed that the Colby Jack and the Swiss or the mild cheddar, the Swiss seemed to go pretty fast and the cheddar seemed to go pretty fast. And then the Pepper Jack was left at the end. Now, I don't like Pepper Jack mainly because it gets synthesized often. And that's one of the cheeses where you go, I'll have cheese on it. Oh, you would like a Pepper Jack cheese on it? Yeah, but it's not cheese. It's fake cheese. It's oil or whatever. But even the real version of Pepper Jack in the slice form, not a fan.
And you're a spicy guy. Spicy doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me. Interested in the power rankings for you guys.
Easy.
Easy for you?
Yes, sir.
I got to say, I'm removing the melted on a burger or put it in a salad. Just straight to your head. Just straight.
The real crowd cheeser.
As I sat there and rode along in our Lincoln Navigator, and as it sat on the armrest in between me, I found myself going for the Swiss first. I feel like Swiss on its own. Good. Colby Jack, cheddar, I could go either way, toss a coin, and then Pepper Jack, I had a distant fourth.
Interesting. I'm cheddar, Midwest. Cheddar's always going to taste good. It's always going to be good no matter where you get it. So cheddar number one, Swiss number two, again, only as an adult. Pepper Jack, just because I hate Colby Jack so much. It's so far the fourth. It's such a it tastes like nothing. It's not very even salty. It's not very flavorful. It's like the worst of Colby, the worst of Jack, a little bit of the worst of cheddar.
What's Colby?
If I ever have two sons, I'm going to name one Colby and the other Jack. And I will always refer to them in that order. Yeah. I'll never say Jack and Colby. I'll go Colby and Jack. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Colby Jack sucks. Mm-hmm.
For me, there's a clear number one and a clear number four. Number one, Swiss. Number four, Pepper Jack. I'll have a Pepper Jack once in a while, but a clear number four.
Brian, you're clawing your way back into my heart.
I don't know that I could tell the difference between Colby Jack and Mild Cheddar.
You 100% could.
I'm sorry,
sucks.
Gina, but I can't really tell the difference. I couldn't really tell the difference either. I wasn't sure what the white and orange one was.
It has no flavor.
Taste test.
Yes.
You replace Mild Cheddar with Sharp Cheddar. Now we have a Now we have a fight for number one. Mm-hmm. Now the order gets switched up a little bit. But Mild Cheddar, it's fine.
All right. Well, now we have to have another taste test because I got to see.
Trader Joe's around the corner.
I was tossing coins to figure out which one was next. But I'm glad.
Wait, who better to do this with than Phil Rosenthal?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
The Trader Joe's 5 minutes from here.
Maybe he can go get it.
Somebody go get some cheese. I don't know. Chris, which one were you eating?
I was only allowed to eat the Pepper Jack. I do swipe my hand every time I try to get some Swiss.
Well, it's free goddamn cheese for you, bucko.
He's eating the plastic wrapper.
I banned him from the Swiss. That's right. That's so you're only allowed, but you're like a shop vac. I actually fed him a shrimp tail.
A little seal.
It was the greatest move ever. We're standing around at the Acura event. Tell me if this isn't the greatest thing ever. You're standing around the Acura event, Jules playing, they're serving the hors d'oeuvres.
Mm-hmm. More Colby Jack, sir?
No, jumbo shrimp wrapped with prosciutto, right?
Oh, God. That's perfect.
I reach in, I grab the one by the tail, mm-hmm. I bite into it, I rip the whole thing off and eat it, and now I'm standing there holding the tail. In the middle of a grass field watching Jewel. The person's not coming around with the tray again. I'm holding this shrimp tail.
Chris's lip is quivering.
I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to put it in my pocket. I don't want to hold it. I don't want to throw it on the ground. And I realized Chris is standing next to me, and I just fed it to him.
Oh, my God.
I saw this whole process. He took a bite off that shrimp and just holding the tail. I'm thinking, he's going to give that to me.
We have audio of this, actually. Believe it or not, someone's recording.
That's right. I used my clicker and I trained him.
Oh, poor Chris.
All right. Let's see. RJ Bell's on the blower. Do we have anything for him? RJ?
Hey, guys.
Hey, RJ. All right. So,
welcome back.
Welcome back.
How's the off season treating you?
Hey, let me say, I was listening. Let me say this. Another good reason to come to Vegas is hot poo nanny. I'm just saying.
15-11-1, 57% winning percentage last year on this show. The goal was 55, so you crushed it, man. I want to know, so we're here to talk odds and all that good stuff. Who's the odds on favor to win the Super Bowl this year? Or do you have an intro?
Yeah,
sorry.
I do.
Well, let me see.
Hold on.
Apple pie. Football. Gambling. The drought is over. And we got Vegas insider RJ Bell. This is RJ's Parlay.
All right, you can remove the picture of the cheese. Thank you. RJ, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think you're going to like this, Adam. Patriots favored again.
Jeez.
Now listen, not as much of a favorite as in recent years. Right? They've been 3-1, 4-1 entering years. Now they're 6-1, but still the favorite. Eagles second, Steelers, Rams, Vikings, all clustered, tied for third.
Yeah, I was at the Rams game when Wentz was injured for the Eagles, and everyone's like, oh, the season's over, except for I was at the game, and I watched the Eagles come back and beat the Rams with the backup quarterback. So I'm like, doesn't feel like the season's over for me. Rams are one of the best teams in football. They, I think, were down at the time. Wentz was injured, and they just came right back and won the game. So it was sort of a...
You can't tell?
Yeah, I wasn't writing them off as someone who was in the end zone there watching the game. Is this a fair statement, RJ Bell and Brian, who knows a lot about football and sports, that a team like the Patriots, and I've never had this thought before, can win with an old quarterback because it's got a great mind and they got a great coach, and over the course of the season, it's so much just shaving millimeters here and there and finding ways to win and stuff like that. But then when you take 2 weeks off and play the big game, it evens it out a little bit, that somehow Tom Brady's going to win in and out because he's not going to make mistakes, and he's going to win you a lot of games that maybe even he could have lost. Right. Like a race car driver who's not very aggressive, but he's just going to go out there and lay down consistent lap times, and other guys are going to crash and get hurt and burn. He's just going to always be there. But now with Brady's age and some of these other teams, maybe with the 2 weeks to prepare, the other team can come out and win. Is that a... Because they've won many Super Bowls, of course, but they haven't really done it. They've never done it in spectacular fashion. They've either won like at the very end or lost it. They haven't dominated, right?
And I think you make a great point. Think back, Adam, to the Patriots in those Giants games. They lost both of those. And then think about they very easily could have lost to Atlanta. They were down crazy at half. And they could have easily lost against Seattle. Remember, they were inside their, 5-yard line with 50 seconds left. Seattle, Marshawn Lynch, they didn't run. They threw interception. So imagine how different the narrative would be if they hadn't won a Super Bowl like since 2005.
Right.
But on the other hand, they could have won every one of those games.
Right.
So I agree with you. As the season progresses, Brady at his age drops off come December, but I do think the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl is actually an advantage, because if you're older, the extra rest helps. And if you actually look at Brady's numbers, they've been unequivocally good in those games. When the Pats have lost, it's been about defense.
I'm curious how my Rams are going to fare this year. What do you think?
Well, I would make the following case. The Rams have added more talent than any team that's won as many games as they did last year. So I think they were, 13-3 in the regular season? And they've added more talent on a 13-win team than I've ever seen. The big question is, it's a lot of, we'll say it in a politically correct way, a lot of, let's say, intangible questions with some of the players coming into the locker room. But if they all play together, this is probably the most talented team in football, the Rams, but I think they're really taking a risk with some of the character issues coming into the locker room.
Did they? Now you're talking about the Jewish punter, Herb. let's be honest here.
I don't see any of that.
I know. They got.
Too busy eating Colby Mac cheese.
I don't know who they drafted, but Gina, what happens a lot of times, they draft guys and some of the guys don't get along with some of the other guys, or don't get along with the law, or don't get along with the coaches, or don't get along with their girlfriends, and it ends up, while they're good players, ends up being more distraction.
It hurts the team.
Then I love the idea of a curfew.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't like rules, quote-unquote.
Yeah, who did the Rams get who have difficulty with the rules and curfews and coaches and things of that nature?
And some of it's that, and coaches. I think you're right. Some of it is how team-oriented. Sue, who signed that gigantic contract with the Dolphins, remember, originally with the Lions.
Sue Pinsky, Drew's wife, or Ndamukong Sue?
Yeah, and Dominican, and he's famous for stepping on people's heads.
She's a run stopper, but she's not as mobile. Right.
Yeah. And the second big guy would be a cornerback from Kansas City, Peters, and he may be the most talented quarterback in the NFL, covering guys, defensive back. But he was still on his rookie deal, and Andy Reid and KC wanted to get rid of him so bad they traded him when he was still on a cheap deal just because he was so disruptive.
And Ndamukong Suh's like one of these guys who's like, had little issues with stomping on other players when he's walking back to the huddle and some like cheap shots and stuff. But
not a friendly fella.
Sweet name.
But then he always seems it's weird like when they interview him and stuff. He seems sort of friendly or seems sort of whatever, and then he goes back and stomps
all psychopaths do.
Somebody again. I guess so. So you know I'm not a psychopath.
That's personable.
Everyone's watching him stomp somebody.
He gets fired up.
He gets fired up. But it's also, look, it's what you're asking them to do.
Yeah, but the vast majority of them don't kill somebody else in the middle of the game.
No. There used to be a lot more. Killing. There used to be a lot more like eye gouging and spitting on other guys and shots to the groin.
Seen the last Boy Scout?
And that sort of stuff. They got a gun out. Start shooting them.
Very common. Yeah.
So, RJ. So, we have the Pats as number one. We have Philly as number two.
Steelers three. And keep in mind, if you look at the top nine teams, seven of them are from the NFC, two are from the AFC, Pats and Steelers. So in a weird way, they have a, or maybe in a logical way, they have a big advantage because let's just say Brady gets injured. All of a sudden now, the Steelers have a super clean path to the Super Bowl. Or if Big Ben gets injured, vice versa, the third best team in the AFC actually, based on the odds, is the Chargers, a team that hasn't made the playoffs for a number of years, but they've always been more talented than their record. But, boy, think about the NFC. The idea, let's say Drew Brees gets hurt. Okay, well, it's one of seven that are mighty good. So, if anything, if you actually look at the Super Bowl odds, it's going to favor the AFC because the path to the big game is much easier.
What do you think, let's say, you want to talk about season one? You have a bet for game one, sorry?
What I'll give is a couple of, fun, we won't put this in the record because they're full season type bets, but I actually like the Vikings to win it. 12-1,
mm-hmm.
New quarterback and Cousins, and probably the best team. What we like to do in Vegas is judge the teams without a quarterback. Imagine they had a robot that was the same playing quarterback for every team. How good would these teams be? I think the Vikings probably may be the best team in the NFL if you disregard the quarterback. Now, we know the quarterback really matters, but Cousins, I think, is going to be a big upgrade. Now, last year, Case Keenum played mighty well, but it was an aberration for him. It was the first time he really did. Cousins has been more consistent. I think the Vikings are a team that's not really football sexy, but very, very good.
Yeah.
And that's a couple of questions. One, RJ, are people forgetting or dismissing the Jaguars because they had a 14-point lead in the AFC Championship game, granted the 10-point lead, and the Patriots came back to win, but that is a great defense and a solid, solid running game. Are people just not believing them?
Yeah, you're right. It's Blake Bortles. People just cannot. I mean, think about it, guys. When you bet, you're in a way saying, this guy's on my team, right? So how fun is it to bet Tom Brady? It's mighty fun, right? You're thinking you and Giselle might be hanging out, watching the game. But who wants to necessarily bet on the Jags, right? Because there's nothing, again, football sexy about that team. Here's the one thing I'll say, though, Brian, to caution you a little on the Jags. They played last year two games against Houston without their starting quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and two games against the Colts without Andrew Luck. And the idea of those four games now getting much, much tougher in division because the quarterbacks are back.
Yeah. So we kick off Thursday night, right? A week from this Thursday. What game is that? Who's playing in that game?
It's Atlanta. It's the Super Bowl champs host typically, and Philly is hosting Atlanta, and Philly is favored by 3.5 or so. Home field is 3, so they're making the case. Philly's a little bit better. Wentz very likely is not going to play. It'll be Nick Foles. Wentz is still recovering from his knee injury. He's due back in week 3 or 4 is what we expect. And remember, and boy, talk about narratives being different, Adam, the Falcons had the ball in Philadelphia inside the 10-yard line, 1st and 10, to win the game in the last minute of that game. four attempts. They didn't make the end zone, but the odds were about 60% Atlanta would win that game on first down. And obviously, we'd be talking very differently about the Eagles, and that's a rematch here. Eagles favored by 3.
What do you do? I'll ask Gina Grad. What do you do when you have a quarterback and he's playing lights out ball, and then he's injured, diving for a touchdown or diving for extra yard, I think, into the end zone.
He's the front runner for the MVP at this point.
Against the Rams. So he's not, it's not like, well, what happened? Well, he was out whoring and he slipped on some scotch. He's diving for the end zone.
So I'm just going to put
gets his knee blown up, right?
Yeah.
Now his understudy, I'll call him understudy because I'll talk musical theater.
His swing.
His swing comes in, goes through the playoffs. You know, regular rest of another couple games in the regular season, through the playoffs,
a couple of standing O's,
all the way to the Super Bowl, and then beats,
encore,
beats on Carol Channing.
Oh God, he's got to be really good
in the Super Bowl.
Oh my God,
in the biggest game ever, you beat Tom Brady.
Oy vey.
Now you come back to the next season. Yeah. Let's just say hypothetically, the understudy wins the first couple games,
and Carol's like, "Well, I'm here."
And now the first quarterback is healed up and ready to go.
Nathan Lane's back. I don't want to be the one to tell Carol.
What do we do?
That is a good question.
So there's two. I think there's two rules here, RJ Bell, and they're just going to be at loggerheads. One is they used to say you don't lose your job to an injury. Mm-hmm. They used to say that if you get injured, you get to come back and do it. On the other hand, the other rule is you don't pull a guy if all he's doing is winning. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Tom Brady
and Drew
got in there with Drew Bledsoe.
And in words you'll understand, you can't be an ingenue forever.
There's
always room for a new one.
That's right. So what are they going to do, RJ Bell?
It's an easy answer. Right now, if you ask Vegas, rank the quarterbacks, including backups, 1 to 64, let's say, is Carson Wentz healthy, which will be the case soon enough, maybe third, fourth, fifth, somewhere out of the top couple, but in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Foles, even though, as you said, one of the five greatest performances in a Super Bowl by a quarterback, it was a shocker because Foles probably 28th, 30th best quarterback. So, he could start for the very worst teams, but if you actually look, quarterback-wise, but if you actually look at how he played at the end of the year, it was horrendous after Wentz got hurt. And he didn't play all that well in the playoffs, except that Super Bowl was amazing. So, right now, once Wentz is healthy, it's not even a decision for the Eagles.
Mark Gargas just sent me a text. He says he has Colin Kaepernick, number 7 overall. And he's not even in the league.
It was actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
and 7. Well, the damages are going up, right. I guess.
Yep. All right, RJ, we're going to talk to you next week. You're going to give us your pick for next week, and we'll keep an eye on how your winning percentage is. By the way, the website is pregame.com. The podcast is Dream Preview every week on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. And
Adam, I had a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, because I remember I started a little slow. I was like right around, you were making coin flip jokes. I actually wrote it down and put it on the mirror. Michael Jordan.
Like Rocky.
Oh, God.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I was like 51%, if you would have spent a little more time on the record, kicking off the season.
Mm.
Oh.
So you're like.
Conveniently brushed past the 55%.
Like. You're like, RJ, you're like if Michael Jordan couldn't touch the padding at the bottom of the backboard. That would be you?
You know something, for someone that, you've got, almost a million listeners a day, is that a fair thing to say?
Sure.
Okay, and how many millions of dollars do you think they made for my picks last year?
Well,
Not
enough, and we did the... we did the math. If you bet a million, if you bet $1,000, well, if you bet $1,000 a week every week last year with RJ, you'd be up $3,000. But if you bet $100,000 every week, you'd be up $300,000. And
Multiply that times a million listeners.
I know, but probably only 92% of them played. All right, we will talk to you next week, RJ Bell. We'll play an outro here.
RJ Bell, gambler, RJ's parlay.
All right, let's see. Phil Rosenthal is here. So,
speaking of Phil, we've been talking about food so much this show. Can I just throw in how excited I am to debut a recipe whenever we're going to do that this week? Last night I made a meatball parmesan casserole.
I saw that.
And I did bring some for you people.
Oh,
so
you
in the
did?
Next, I did. So in the next few days, let me know because people are wanting to know that recipe. I said, you got to wait. You got to wait for the show.
You don't have to wait. If you want to hear about Casserole Edge, you can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with the Casserole Challenge, hashtag Casserole Challenge, with your questions for Casserole Challenge. And brought to you by Casserole Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic oil. What do we got there, Max Pat? Do you have a challenge question for me?
Sure do. Zero Oscar on Instagram wants to know, hashtag casual challenge. You've seen a lot of collections in your day. Who has the best car collection that you've seen?
Fresh off of coming down from Monterey.
Well, Zero Oscar, is that Tom Cruise?
You know, with all due respect to your Jay Leno's of the world, who has many, many, many different cars, but from many, many different eras. I think there's a sweet spot. And for me, it's those race cars from the 60s, 70s, and some from the later 50s. A little less of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and then a little less of the newer George Jetson style. But those, I don't know. I think a lot of people do this thing where they go like, well, you were in high school, that's why you like this. But I like the architecture from the 20s and 30s a lot better than the architecture from when I was in high school. Yeah, it's like early 80s shit boxes when I was in high school. I don't like it because that's what I was in high school then. I like the stuff that's Art Deco or the Craftsman style or whatever. So I think we can be honest here. Max Pata, you don't know anything and you don't own anything.
Correct.
But when you see the Ferrari GTO from like the early 60s, you go, that's a great looking car, right?
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. When he was explaining the history, we're talking about Chip Conner. We went to his car collection in Monterey last week. Like the hairs on my arm stood up when he was like telling me about all these things and just the history of it and just the beauty of these cars. It was incredible.
So it's sort of like Leno's is like an unyielding or sort of unending buffet of food. But Chips is like the best Benihana you've ever been to in your life. Like you just sit there and it's all right in front of you.
It's all onion volcanoes.
All onion volcanoes. They throw that shrimp up at the end to go in his hat.
Yeah.
And that's where Max Pata leaps into action. Slow motion, like one of those labs going off the pier in the lumberjack competition.
Jowls flapping.
Snatches it up.
Ears in the wind.
Snatches it in the air before it hits the guy's hat. But I got to tell you, Bruce Meyer has a pretty crazy collection too, and a lot of race cars from Le Mans in like the 60s and the 70s when race cars were race cars. But we'll just go with Chips because we were just there. Also, don't think I didn't do 40 minutes on the Terrazzo flooring.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of hot Terrazzo talk.
Anyone can talk about the cars. It's what's under the cars.
Right.
The Terrazzo. All right. So we'll just go with our friend Chip because that was just an unbelievable, unbelievable tour. All right. What was the question? Yeah. Thanks, Casual Challenge. So Chip. So Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil Rosenthal is here. We'll bring him in a second. I got another entry into the Urban Dictionary. I think I don't know. What do I have? 12 of these things now, maybe, Max Pata?
Yeah. Do you have the list in front of you there?
I don't have it in front of me. I know I had it before. Some are better than others. Personally, I like good lenses, bad frames. I it 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 tells the tale of the guy who doesn't really look competent or look the part, but he is good at what he does.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be smart to go through life that way and stop judging everybody by that guy doesn't look like he can do this or that girl doesn't look like they can do that, which we do as human beings, but it doesn't behoove you to do that.
Behyman
is one of my favorites. Now, Max Zapata. We have the classic. Yes, we have Behyman. We have Fruit Fly because what was it? Fag Hag. What was the one that we decided is not usable anymore? Cannot use that. Okay.
We can.
Thank you.
But it's been replaced by Fruit Fly.
Okay.
Which is offensive, but not as offensive. We have a Black Simile. That's when you mistake one black guy for another black guy, or you're doing you're Sam Rubin and you think you're talking to
Samuel L. Jackson.
You're talking to Lawrence Fishburne or whatever it is. That's a black simile situation there. We have falutin free.
Great one.
That's the optimal state, perfect simplicity, not overly complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, a good pizza without too much on it. We have. I don't know why. Irish football, which is a premature baby.
Oh, my God.
I don't even remember
that.
Is that
like Irish twins?
I don't know why. You were talking about Irish football.
This is the drunken rambling.
Yes.
I'm a madman.
We got tortilla winner, which is the bread winner of a Mexican family.
Okay.
Why should they use our form?
Self-explanatory.
Our leavened bread.
Yeah, why should they use our leavened bread? That's not their scene, man.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural appropriation to make them breadwinners.
Right.
How dare they?
And then the latest entry is the Adam effect. It's the phenomenon that occurs when Adam provides wisdom or insight.
Oh, Jesus.
And within a year, said wisdom will come up in conversation as a known truth. Look no further than every article everyone sends me every week on crows. What crows are up to? What are crows up to, Max Zapata? Someone sent me the latest one.
All right, so crows, we all know how smart they are. You know, they hold funerals for each other. They have facial recognition. We're going to get taken over by these guys. But now in France, I believe it is 6 crows have been trained to pick up cigarette butts off the ground.
Custodial work.
Yeah, and then they would bring them to these devices, or if they put a cigarette butt into it, they would get a treat.
Wow.
So they're just going around France picking up all the cigarette butts on the floor.
That's awesome.
I love this part of life. I love this part where you have a park, it's got cigarette butts. Cigarette butts are kind of, look, if you're going to pick them up, you can't do it with the nail, with the stick with the nail in it. You have to be a pretty good aim. You have to like get down there and get your fingers on somebody else's stuff and
hard to
whatever.
See.
It is a thing that, you know, smokers is sort of classically flick out. Mm-hmm. And you don't want kids running around barefoot with a bunch of cigarette butts in your park. So what do? You just train crows who will happily do it as long as there's a reward. Now, if you want to know something about human beings and maybe about socialism, how do you think the crows would work minus the reward?
Simple and safe.
They wouldn't.
They don't do it. So we're not all that different than crows.
Right.
Give us a little incentive, we'll go do this. Give us no incentive, or have the incentives dry up, or have this world where everyone's just on their honor to pick up cigarette butts on their own for no reward.
Well, they don't get
picked up.
We try that. That's why we need the crows.
Right. That's right. We need the crows. And the crows need a reward because that's how all creatures work, human and the birds. So we now have trained the crows we've trained them to solve problems. They can use tools now, like open things. Mm-hmm. We've trained them for facial recognition. We've also figured out that that the scientists that do the experiments on crows who go out from UC Berkeley and have to get into the nest and get the baby crows, they have to wear masks to walk back to their car because the crows will recognize them and attack them as the people who stole.
Right.
Now, there is a little controversy there because sometimes they just wear the Richard Nixon mask and it's unclear whether the crows are politically motivated or either way. You must wear a mask because the crows recognize you. Tell the other crows, hey, that's the guy who steals our baby crows. And then they go land on his head. Now they have crows trained to pick up cigarette butts, return them, and get... If 1,000% they are working on attack crows as we speak to be used in for security measures, 100%. And if they're not, they're insane. This must be going on right now. And it's easily done.
Don't you think part of the Adam effect, though, that's important is that everyone says you're crazy, makes fun of you, and then you get no credit when it comes true?
Oh, yeah. That's
that important?
That brings it full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dismissed once it actually happens.
Yes. Yes. And of course, my dogs that sniff out cancer, which is now all one of the next things that's going on. I can solve every problem. You just leave it to me. The problem with you guys is you all know stuff, and that gets in the way of...
Fatal flaw.
It's a flaw.
Gets in the way of good horse sense.
It's a flaw. I have nothing in my head, so I'm able to see everything like a newborn. You guys have books.
Yeah. Book learning.
Words.
Information.
Yeah. Stats. It's getting in the way.
It's backed up. It's taken your hard drive and it's filled it up. I have nothing in my head.
Thus, he's free to process.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. In a weird way.
No self-esteem, huh?
In a weird way, it's like being an atheist. If you're a very religious, like if you take a religion and you go, I'm deeply religious, well, then you're not free to examine gay marriage. You're not really free to examine premarital sex. You're not free to examine the afterlife.
Other religions.
Yeah. Or
you've attached yourself to a dogma.
Are there aliens? You know, or how old is the earth? Like, you're not free to explore any of that stuff because you've sort of married yourself to an ideology.
Right.
Well, that's what you guys and your information is. You got a whole bunch of information. It's clogging up. It's Gina, clogging up the port.
We're clinging to information. We're married to information.
That's right.
We're idiots.
I got no info.
We need to erase our hard drives.
That's right.
I go cash.
Yeah.
I come into every situation with nothing. Free to make thoughts. Mm-hmm.
You might have a point.
Yeah, there's a little. I mean, we'll
give it a year.
If you use religion as sort of an example of like, here's how I feel. I know what I know.
We can't talk about dinosaur fossils.
It's going to be hard you're just going to be now. That's if you're very deeply devout, whatever. But if you're sort of, well, I'm not really practicing, but I did grow up Christian or whatever. I believe in God. You know, I believe it. Well, now you have to wrestle. You have to fight through
right.
A little bit.
Right. It's a barrier.
But if you grew up with nothing, like the Ace Man,
free
to be a genius.
Genius.
All right. So there's going to be attack crows. Now, how are we going to use them? Is it going to be a military application? Is it going to be, you know, a Secret Service type dignitary type application?
Recording, you know, a surveillance type thing, a spy CIA type stuff. You know, no one's going to think twice about having a secret conversation with somebody if there's a crow nearby.
Right? Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be your contact at the park bench while there's that crow.
My feeling is everything is mic'd up already. Your TV's mic'd up, your phone's mic'd up, the bank, your bank's ATM's got a camera.
Sidewalks.
Like that. Where everyone's mic'd up. No one's going to be able to do anything that's not going to get recorded anymore. But I'm thinking, like, you know, if you're a politician and you have to make a speech and you're in front of the county library or something, why not have those crows just up there behind you, just sitting up there on the parapet or possibly the Mansard? Oh, maybe I do know something. You guys know what a Mansard
is? I've never heard that word before.
That's where crows sit.
I thought that was the crow's nest.
Look up Mansard, I think, as it pertains to building, and I'll tell you about Simply Safe, and
is
then
like
we'll bring
an eave?
It's like
a buttress,
kind of like in front, ornamental, kind of in front of a big building on the roof, up top, or like a window would be, like where Quasimodo would live, or something like that.
Well,
Maxipad will give us an actual definition of that. I'll tell you about Simply Safe first. I'm a big fan of Simply Safe home security. It's prepared for everything. If there's I'm not sure how to spell it though. There's a storm, takes out the power. Your phone line gets cut. Keypad gets destroyed. Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't expect, maybe live in a nice neighborhood. Maybe you think nothing's going to happen. No, no. The bad guys go to the nice neighborhoods to get the nice stuff. That's where the nice stuff is. So let's be ready for the worst case scenario. It is Simply Safe. Simply Safe is great, and it's always ready, and it's just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simply two I's in there. Simplysafe.com/Adam.
So, like, this is a mansard roof.
Right.
Okay.
Mansard. Yeah, we're looking.
Mansard.
Mansard. Yeah. The what would be the definition? The type of, like, the building or the above the.
It says a roof that has four sloping sides, each of which becomes steeper halfway down. A story or apartment under a mansard roof. So yeah, it's an architectural term.
Yeah. Well, it's where the crows could hang out.
Yeah.
Is the point.
Is the point before they swoop down.
That's a crow roof.
And again.
You talking about a crow roof?
Forget about canine. How about C9, man? I will have the crows in the back of that squad. Look, non-lethal. They're constantly talking about non-lethal, right? Yep. And when a guy's 250 pounds and he played some JC ball a few years ago and he's hopped up on bath salts, evidently the taser only makes him stronger.
Yeah, it just pisses him off.
How many times have you seen the pepper spray and the taser? And it's like, it's not doing anything. And we don't want to shoot the guy, right. But he's swinging around a steak knife. And all we're doing is agitating him with the pepper spray. Mm-hmm. And whether it be the pepper spray or the taser, you know, last I checked, pepper spray and taser for a guy who's beaked out of his head on drugs and 250 pounds, you got to get within 5 feet of that guy to get really effective with that stuff. It's hard to stand across the parking lot from a safe distance and pepper spray someone. Yeah. And they'll do the thing where, it goes up to 20 feet, but you're hitting him the thigh from 20 feet away. There's an 8-mile-an-hour crosswind. So if you want to subdue, so there's lots of situations. All right, hold on. Everyone's going nuts. Everyone's high on drugs. And everyone is fighting with the cops. And we're having this big problem. The problem is this. What do we do with a guy who poses a threat to a cop and the pepper spray and the tasing is not working? The answer is he gets shot. That's what inevitably happens. The cops shoot him and then we're all outraged. Like, well, come on, you should have done something. But it's like, should have done what with the guy with the knife where the pepper spray wasn't working? Tack crows.
Yeah, getting
right on
at.
In
100% seriousness, given the choice between arming teachers and training crows to attack anyone they see with a gun, I would take the crows every time.
Oh, Brian, exactly right. Imagine
20 crows trained to attack someone with a firearm. That guy is rendered useless.
There's no
Maybe
doubt.
Spray fire, I suppose.
But first off, the kids would love the crows. They give a name. Hey, we got Heckle and Jekyll. You know, you give them a little pet, give them a little saltine or something like that. They just sit on the perch. And they sit in the classroom. And anyone who comes in and starts swinging something around or firing shots, they go right at the guy's head. Done.
They'll go as soon as they see the gun. They don't have to hear a shot. You see what I'm saying? They're trying to attack on sight.
I love it.
That's a great idea.
How great would you feel if you knew that your kid's school had attack crows? Had a murder of attack crows.
Objectively better.
Everybody wins.
We have,
ironically, a murder of attack crows.
We have a few just like sitting in front, you know, in the administration
security.
Building where the kids,
that's right.
Kids come in.
Each other. They're going to be all around the school.
Right. Just sort of buzzing around.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Places with higher population of crows would be more desirable too, right?
Yeah.
Everybody would want to live in those areas.
Real estate would go up.
I wouldn't mind a few crows buzzing around the mall.
Mm-hmm.
As Al-Qaeda comes in and starts going nuts, boom.
Pulse nightclub.
Right on the head.
Yep.
Yeah. Public areas that way. Concerts.
Women walk into their cars. You could do private work.
Oh,
I
Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I love the idea where I put the giant rainbow tape bullseye on top of the roof of your car so they can recognize you,
Gina.
Oh,
yeah, that's good. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Everyone's got their own QR code.
Yeah. And as you drive out of your building, they just, as the crow flies,
love
they
it.
Just follow you. And like you pull up to the little mini mart and it's at night and you're going in, you're feeling a little weird walking out to your car, but they're just sitting up there in the parapet.
Yep.
Just wait and make sure you safely get into your car.
I love it.
Unsavory character kind of staggers at you from 10 feet away. And you
boom.
You just point.
You just point.
And he looks at you and he backs away.
Yeah. That's good. Way easier than brandishing a gun.
Little clicker on your keychain like they do to train the dolphins.
Yeah. Just one caw-caw.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm in love with this idea.
I think we just solved a major problem.
I got to tell you, Brian,
society.
This whole school thing,
yeah.
In love with it. Because, you don't want to give the teachers guns. And then you hear these crackpot, I don't know, some city official or some guy a few months ago was like, I'm going to arm all our teachers with the rocks. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a bucket of rocks. And it's like,
now we're all
that's cute. Yeah. You're going to hit one of the kids in the head before he gets shot. Like, the kid's going to go like, ow, and then get shot.
Ow, I stopped shooting for a second.
Well, he's disoriented,
There was somebody who was giving teachers buckets of rocks. All right, let's give them the crows.
Yeah, train them to attack anyone with a firearm.
And I got
to
say, you go to like my neighborhood, and we're lousy with it. There's more than we know what to do with. They're all evidently very easily trainable.
Looking for work.
There you go. All right.
Nailed it.
They nailed it. We'll take ourselves a quickie break. We'll do some good sports. And Phil Rosenthal.
Yeah.
In studio now.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Reminder is pro football is, a matter of hours away. At this point, make sure you're listening to the Dave Damashek football program. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you'll find that one. Ace with football. Nigh a couple of things I wanted to get your thoughts on. At the start of the week, Tom Brady, he does a weekly local radio hit in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of tied, and it depends who you're talking to within the Patriots organization or anyone close to it. Alex Guerrero is the fitness guy, for Tom Terrific. And Brady, Belichick never really liked him or didn't want him around so much, but now he is on the team flight and so on and so forth. And so people are asking questions, including the hosts of this radio hit that Brady does every week. And they asked one too many times about it after Brady said, I don't want to talk about this. So he hung the phone up on them.
Yeah.
One, do you think that pro football players should be allowed to not answer the stuff that they don't care to answer? And two, and more importantly, when, if ever, have you ever just hung the phone up on somebody? I love that move.
Well, It's my Monica Lewinsky wants to do the show, but she just wants to talk about her handbag line. She was not going to discuss the president, which is difficult on a host because there's only one reason why you want Monica Lewinsky in the studio, and it's not to talk about her handbag line. So there's this weird balance that happens a lot where you go, everyone's talking about this thing, and then you got that person on the blower, and then if you don't ask them, then you get all the crap. Why don't you ask them about the blah, blah, blah? You know, right, of course. But it was agreed, and then if you cross over that, not only do you not get the person the next week, but then oftentimes you don't get anyone else who's on that publicist roster.
It's, then, by the way, I am less forgiving of what happens in the White House press room. But when people say, why don't they ask Sarah Sanders this? Because they want to be back the next day. And they know that she won't call on them if she's overtly disruptive and rude.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. It's like, you know, how come President Trump didn't call Putin a crook to his face? And it's like, cuz that they don't do it that way. Now, he shouldn't gone off and had the soft swirl ice cream with him, but nobody ever yells to the other dignitary.
That's exactly right. That standard that was going on a month or so ago, and believe me, obviously, I don't like what happened there. But this dark fantasy that he was going to turn around and slug him or something. What did you think he was going to do?
Well, not only. It's not only that, it's not done.
Like, swords at dawn, sir!
People meet with heads of horrible regimes all the time, and they shake hands, and they do the double handshake, and they take the photos, and they sit down, and they do all that. That's part of the dance. You never get to go back if you yell a liar and insults and whatever. Although, one of my favorite parts, we're digressing, and then we'll get to Tom Brady. Oh, well, I hung up on Ann Coulter. I forgot about that.
That's right. I was there for that. That was one of the great moments that I've been a part of.
One of my favorite parts is when, I don't know why, it always made me laugh, when George Bush, or W, I think, was doing he was in some sort of OPEC nation giving a speech, and someone like pulled off their sandal and threw it at his head. And they dodged. Right. And all the newscasters had to explain, in his country, it is considered an insult when a reporter throws a shoe at your head. And I'm like, oh, really? Because that's a pretty universal thing. Like, somebody pulls off a hirachi and chucks it at your head while you're giving a speech. It's not like, well, in Denmark, that's a totally different message. It's like, you don't need to explain that removing a shoe and throwing it at someone's head.
Pretty sure it's also offensive in Tennessee.
Yeah. Whether it's an Uber driver or president of a nation, if you throw your shoe at somebody's head, that's almost always out of anger and rarely out of respect.
In Argentina, throwing shoes at one's head, compliment.
But Brady's weird because he has this crazy extrovert mixed with a kind of introvert, or not introvert, but he's a guy who puts himself out there, who does things, who hits the beach with Giselle and, like, takes pictures and shakes his moneymaker at Mardi Gras and stuff like that, and then gets insulted when questions are asked and stuff like that. It's a sort of a, you know, you're usually either this guy or you're that guy. But he's kind of both, right?
Like, it's interesting,
he's
yeah.
out there and a little bit uptight.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe him. Yeah, and he's very... Yeah, he's very Patriots-esque. He's very Belichick-friendly in that you don't get to know anything that happens behind these walls. But you're right. Yes, he loves to celebrate himself. And I get the sense, and I know this is going to sound like denigrating, but I always say about any really high-end performer in pro sports, almost without fail, they are all kind of they have a jerk quality to them. And I'm not saying that about Tom Brady, but they all have that. Imagine who was, you know, when you grew up, the kid who was super competitive. That's how they're always described. Oh, doesn't matter if you're playing,
Tiddlywinks.
He wants to kill you at it. Uh-huh. And Conan O'Brien and Tom Brady played a video game a couple of years ago before the Super Bowl. And even doing that, you could see Tom Brady is a jerk about that. Like, when he's the guy who, oh, we're losing, I'm going to turn it off and restart the game. Like, he's that guy. You can just tell that that's who he is. These are not guys that you necessarily want to just hang out with casually because they're uber competitive. In other words, they're kind of unlikable on that level.
Well, he had a dust up last year when someone brought up his son, right?
Yes, he doesn't like, yeah, he has certain rules about things like that, and it all goes back to that basically he's in charge of things, and so now when you put him in a position that...
Here's my head on it. If you agree to call into a weekly sports program, then you've agreed, in essence, to answer the questions that they're going to ask you. Now, there's a certain point when they just keep pounding away and you make some sort of cursory answer or you move on or whatever. There's a point when it's on the host. But if your agreement is I shall call in to this weekly show, then you shall participate. That's my take.
I just think, you know, and it's like Ben Roethlisberger when they drafted the kid out of Oklahoma State, Mason Rudolph. He said, why are you drafting a quarterback? I'm still here. They're all accustomed to a different reality than the one in which the rest of us reside. They are the main man. They're paid millions of dollars to do something that is a rare skill on the big blue marble. And this imbues them with a sense of I get to make all the rules.
Why is it? And do we have a recording of him hanging up?
I don't know. Do we have that? I don't think we do. We do something better, though. We have Adam Carolla hanging up on Ann Coulter. Let's hear that.
Let's hear that.
Ann Coulter, who was supposed to be on the show about an hour and a half ago, is now on the phone as well. Ann?
Hello.
Hi, Ann. You're late, baby doll.
Somebody gave me the wrong number.
How did you get the right number? Just dialed randomly, eventually got to our show?
No, my publicist emailed it to me, I guess, after checking with you. But I am really tight on time right now because I already had it.
All right, well, get lost.
That is the best. And by the way, I have to, a dozen years later, blame Bruska.
Well, she got all sing-songy on me, and I hate sing-songy. I don't know why. There's never a call. Like, you know, when they go, hey, there's never an excuse for violence. There's oftentimes an excuse for violence, but there's never a call to be sing-songy. You should never be sing-songy with somebody.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let me tell you what you should be. You should be getting down with betonline.ag. BetOnline. .ag, exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. These are our go-to guys. We trust them for all things betting. Lines, odds, wagers, inside info, you name it, it's all there. Football season is almost here, so you can head to betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. I'll explain how that works in a second. You also get in on MLB action. You sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% bonus on your first deposit when you wager on MLB games. Take advantage of this incredible offer. Do it now at betonline.ag. Get that 50%. betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Sheck, let's bring it home.
Very nice. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports Out. Good Sports.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.